Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Peace in the Middle East. That's kind of like saying safety on the Titanic. Some things just don't seem to go together. The problems bubbling over constantly in that particular part of the world have been doing so in one form or another since, well, the Garden of Eden. But hope springs eternal. Here to discuss the latest Israeli peace ultimatum is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what do we need to know?
Well, yes, I think Americans should pay more attention to this in a detailed form, because I have a great fear that there are only two real levels that citizens and residents in the United States think about peace in the Middle East. They think about it on a residual charity that derives from observing what happened in World War II. Mm-hmm. Not many firsthand anymore, but there's great sympathy in the Western world to the attempted genocide of the Jewish peoples all throughout Europe. And after World War II, the leftovers, you know, they felt stateless and desperate, didn't trust any country. And there was a movement known as Zionism that encouraged Jews to go back to what they saw as their ancestral homeland. Although students of Bible history know very well that it was in the New Testament era, AD 70, that the nation of Israel was totally and finally smashed, obliterated by the Romans. Yeah. They killed as many as they could. The rest were enslaved. The temple was destroyed. It was pretty much a scorched earth policy, and the Jews went to the far ends of the earth. And it's very interesting. In Rome, there's Hadrian's Arch celebrating the Roman general's victory over destruction of Jerusalem. And you can see the soldiers carrying back the holy furniture from the destroyed temple and the Jewish slaves coming with them. That was a total dispersion, and that was nearly 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
So it sounds good, and if you have a theology, and which is the second aspect of American support, there are a lot of particularly evangelical Christians very enamored with their particular take on Bible prophecy that see a very literal return of the Jews to the promised Holy Land at the end of time, and all of the nations coming up against them, and in that grand conflagration, God's purposes will be revealed and God will come. But meanwhile, blood to the horse's bridle. And that's a Bible figure.
Yes.
You can take it different ways. I think there's clearly going to be a conflict between good and evil, and no doubt the Jews will be enmeshed in this. But I don't think it's necessarily a singular battle involving Israel against everyone else, and nor should we, as the American evangelicals, some of them are inclined to do, nor shall we be precipitating it, setting
yes,
it up,
yes,
because thereby
yes.
bringing about, you know, God's victory. And that is what's behind this latest peace proposal, I believe.
And, of course, our president is playing right to that. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. It's just at the end of January that he very publicly announced, you know, this is the peace plan to end all peace plans. And it sounded good if you had a bias toward a certain viewpoint. It should have been suspicious to most people that the Palestinians hadn't even been involved in the discussion.
Yeah, that's true.
So there was a package plan presented to them, and they were told this was their last good chance, take it or leave it, which to me sounded sort of World War II-ish. You know, Poland and other countries, or Austria, they were told the same.
Yeah.
You know, this is your chance, go for it or else. And I'm looking at the map, which wasn't on the TV programs, but it's sort of sad. The West Bank, which would make up the larger part of the new Palestinian, quote, state, but not an independent state. It would still be a vassal state of Israel, not allowed to have an army and having to forswear any opposition, basically give away all of its unique aspect. But the new state is sort of a hollowed-out version of what now exists as the West Bank. As one commentator said, it looks like a gerrymandered district.
Yes, yes.
There's filaments throughout. And they do sort of link up in the same way that when I was a young kid, U.S. and allied convoys used to take material into West Berlin through the Soviet territory. Right. They had a little corridor till that was stopped, and then they had to fly in. But it's an untenable state. And then there's little dots within it that are to be permanently recognized Jewish enclaves that are responsible to the Jewish state. So it's a mockery. And then on a map, if you haven't been to Israel, it looks fine. There's a huge body of water now almost touching the Palestinian state. At the moment, it does touch the West Bank, but it would be removed. It's the Dead Sea, which it should be a tip-off.
Yeah,
this new Palestinian state would be largely in the desert area.
Yeah.
And most ominously, the Gaza Strip remains, but there's an added little shaded area added to it down in what is pure desert, tank battle country. But, you know, that isn't the main problem. The main problem is anything unilateral is not going to be accepted easily. And certainly things done from a singular theological agenda that others don't share is quite dangerous.
Therein lies the rub, because this is a religious liberty matter. It always has been and always will be. Am I right?
Absolutely. We will see where this goes. I'm very, afraid's the wrong word, but I expect. I expect that in due course we will see a bubbling up of violence in the Middle East as a result of this.
Of course.
It's not going to be taken quietly. Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, he said no, 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 as loudly as he could.
Yes.
So yes, there's trouble ahead. I saw an interview with Kushner, who's really the architect of this. And I think his main expertise in this regard is he married the president's daughter and that he's Jewish, which is not an inconsequential element, but it doesn't give him expertise. Yeah. It gives him an interest.
Yeah.
And I was surprised on the an interview recently, and you hardly ever hear from him, but he was quite vocal. And he reacted angrily when he was questioned about, you know, had he thought this through. And he says, I'm the expert. I spent 3 years thinking on this. Well, there's people in the Middle East have spent
generations,
3,000 years nearly. And we all feel a sympathy for Israel. There's no rationale to take a contrary position and say they should leave. Yeah. You know, it's an established fact. But the idea that you can return a people to a land that they occupied 2,000 years ago, if that were applied in our world, well, we would have to empty the Americas to start with.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would.
And yet we don't like to grant the right of conquest immediately. There's some effort to disentangle. But there's a thorny issue here, and somehow people are going to have to learn to live together if mankind is to continue in any semblance of normalcy until the Lord comes with his eternal kingdom. But from the point of religion, and it has a religious liberty spin-off, we can't allow governments, whether it's the U.S. or the Israeli government, which is a secular government, not a religious government, we can't allow them to determine religious identity and things that flow from visions of prophecy.
Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, let me ask you a question. You know who John Lennon was, and I know who John Lennon was, and he wrote a song called Imagine, and he said, imagine no religion. If we had no religion in this world, would we be better off as far as politics?
No, but if you really think from a religious liberty point of view and an individual faith in a creator God, that, you know, that's a horrible song. But the principle he's talking about, in his own way, he was singing about what Christopher Hitchens, the relatively recently deceased atheist, radical atheist, used to say, that religion poisons everything. Shouldn't be true. It should enrich every life. But an awful lot of the conflict, especially in the modern world, have at their root religious differences. And we have to, for peace and survival's sake, minimize and arbitrate these in a way that respect other people.
I guess we need to identify religion, because there are some religions that do not do this, and there are some religions that do do this. What makes the difference?
There's theological differences, a greater sense of uniqueness and destiny for some religions.
Yeah.
But in certain circumstances, all religions can be toxic, because it's the inside group versus the other. And so you feed in the classic elements of water supply, land, access to holy places, or whatever. And then when the conflict breaks out, as we even had in World War II, this is what enabled Hitler in some ways. Not a good system, but he had sympathy even from the Roman Catholic Church, because they saw him, from a religious point of view, as destroying godless communism.
That's right.
So once that kicked in, you're not just dealing with violence between peoples and proving a point. You're dealing with an existential evil on the other side. And religion tends to kick that dynamic in fairly easy. And it's not true religion. The Bible says, you know, what's true religion? Visiting the orphans and the widows and so on, and loving your neighbor as yourself. We know that, certainly from a Christian point of view, and Buddhism and even Islam, if you read the right parts of the Quran, will say the same thing.
Yeah.
But religion, what I often say, religion devoid of personal spirituality is a very dangerous and often violent thing.
I sometimes picture Jesus walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and with the powers that Jesus had, looking into the future and seeing this year, this time, this situation, and seeing what's being done in his name. And I see him crying, because that's exactly what he did when he looked at Jerusalem as what was being done in his name. Christ would be weeping over today. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, but he was weeping in his day.
Yes.
And it's worth remembering, it wasn't a benign. A lot of the Bible films are a bit dull because they're just too soporific, you know.
Yes.
The Romans had just recently invaded and conquered the Middle East and the Jewish areas. And they were brutally suppressing, you know, the local aspirations. And then within a few short years of Jesus' life, like I said earlier, it was an extermination policy against the Jews. It was not a normal time. So, yes, Jesus was in the middle of as violent and desperate a challenge between a secular power and the religious sensibility of the population as exists now.
Oh, my. Well, we have an enemy that is brutally suppressing us today, and that enemy is the devil, and we are suffering greatly at his hands, and we need the same Jesus that walked along that shore, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and we need the inner spirituality and faith that Jesus recommended, not, as the hymn says, the swords loud clashing and violent religion and identity politics, religious identity politics. That is not the religion of Jesus and other religious philosophies.
Wow, wow. Then we can have peace in the Middle East. Then we can have peace in the Far East, when we have the type of spirituality in our hearts that Lincoln talks about often on this program. Lincoln, we sure appreciate you reminding us of that. LibertyMagazine.org is the website where you can visit to read articles from Liberty Magazine. You can subscribe and also listen to these radio programs. And Lincoln's blogs are there to be enjoyed, as are his television programs. That's all at LibertyMagazine.org. Well, Lincoln, I'm a little discouraged, but you've given me some encouragement, too, and I appreciate that.
Well, it's a coming kingdom.
Absolutely, absolutely. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone.
If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258. Or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.